ISR now presents It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. Dave is off today, so we have a special guest host. It's Your Turn is Butler County's only live call-in talk show. You can join in the conversation by calling 724-283-2525. And now, let's join It's Your Turn and today's special guest host.
And good afternoon. Yeah, I got it right this time. All right. Good afternoon. Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey. If you joined me earlier on today, the reason why is I think I said good afternoon at like 6 a.m., 7 a.m. You know, it's just you get into that rhythm of what you do every single day. But now we're in the afternoon. So good afternoon. It's your turn. Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey. And yeah, that weather's going to be gorgeous. After today, you get the clouds out of the way. You get nothing but sunshine all weekend long. And you go into Monday and Tuesday, I think it's supposed to be pretty nice, but we'll just get to that as we get to it. 79, supposed to be the temperature today. So, all right, we got to jump into things because we have a really, really, really busy show. Remember on Friday, I promised you Dr. Lisa Kellerman, we're going to fit her in today. So we're fitting everybody in today. We got the Pioneer Pantry with BC3 here. We're going to do that first. Then we're going to talk about essential oils. And then we're going to flip it around to talk about the Go Green Festival. So that's all in 1 hour. So let's just go ahead and get into this today. This afternoon, see, I'm going to mess it up all day long. This afternoon, we have BC3 in here. Ivory Dunlap is with me. She's the academic counselor and the retention specialist at BC3. And Karen Jack is in here with me, too, with the Keys Program Director with BC3. Ladies, good afternoon. We just have to pound the good afternoon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you? Nice to see you.
Thanks for having us.
I'm so glad you're in here because we only have a few minutes to talk, and we did a news story on this the other day about the Pioneer Pantry. And the reason I wanted to bring it up, and you all can give the better description than I can, but it's helping to feed your college students, basically what it comes down to. But I saw this idea somewhere in the country. I don't even remember where it was, but it brought up the idea of college students not really, in a sense, having enough money to buy food. So I want your perspective on this, because the first reaction I had was what college student doesn't have money. But does that mean something different to you in what you're trying to do?
Well, food insecurity is an issue that we are seeing amongst college students across the nation. And of course, BC3 is not immune to that. So in my role as the retention specialist, I often have staff members, faculty members refer students to me because they're seeing issues with their grades, issues with their performance. And when they take a moment and speak with the student, they're finding that, well, I haven't eaten in a couple of days, or this is the reason that I'm struggling because I can't focus on what I'm supposed to be studying. So that's really what brought us to looking at food insecurity here at BC3 and how can we solve that problem for that student.
Now, in general, are you talking to students that are just first year students, second year students, they're in college and, you know, the money isn't there because a lot of college kids don't have the money, and I get that. Or is there a deeper level to this where they didn't have enough funds for food in the first place?
So I work with students on a daily basis who are receiving SNAP or TANF benefits, so food stamps or a cash assistance. And so I see that daily with my students. They are oftentimes struggling. The food stamps don't go far enough, and they're not just feeding themselves, they're feeding their families as well. Most of them have families. So it has definitely been a wonderful asset to my students in my program.
So the Pioneer Pantry is feeding the students at BC3. How did it get started? It is such a wonderful idea. Where did it come from? Ivory, why don't you take that one?
Well, last year, BC3 was part of the Western Pennsylvania Community College Leadership Institute, and I was actually part of that last year, and Karen was the prior institute. Mm-hmm. And we looked at really some diversity in the area. What do our students need? And that food insecurity piece was something that kept coming up. So that was part of the work that we did is the Leadership Institute. And then from that, our fine students of Phi Theta Kappa, and that's the National Honor Society of the two-year colleges, they jumped on board with us, and they did a food drive and connected with Greater Pittsburgh Food Bank, and they made bags for our students. They made over 100 bags, and those bags of food went in about a month between the end of December, when our students were wrapping up finals, and the beginning of January. Those 100 bags of food, they were gone. And at that time, they also assisted us with getting our grab-and-go started. So we actually have a three-pronged approach for our pantry, and the grab-and-go is one of those prongs.
What's the grab-and-go?
So the three different areas of the Pioneer Pantry. The grab-and-go is a station on main campus located in Karen Jack's Keys area, where students, if you just don't have money, if you forgot something for lunch, you can grab whatever is there. Granola bars, some macaroni and cheese, maybe some Pop-Tarts, just something to grab on your way past tutoring, to class, before your evening class, that type of thing. So that is for any student that may come across and need it. But there's actually two other portions or prongs of the Pioneer Pantry, and one is the large-scale pantry that feeds Butler County-specific residents.
Okay.
So our students from Butler County who meet specific self-disclosed income guidelines, we have partnered with the Alliance for Nonprofit Resources, and ANR is helping us to get food for those students, so that donated food from ANR goes specifically to that Butler County student. And the other prong of our approach is a large-scale pantry for any student at BC3, regardless of where they live. So it could be a student who's in Armstrong, could be a student who is in our Linen Point site in Mercer or Lawrence Crossing in Newcastle. Those are the foodstuffs that we receive from donations, faculty, staff, community. Those donations can go to any student at all.
So, Karen, let me ask you the process in which this is done. How does one qualify? Do they have to sign up? Do they just come talk to you? How do you keep that also respectful so no one ends up in an embarrassing situation?
Yeah, good question. So we've done a lot of marketing. We started just announcing that we started forming a committee in January to get the pantry going. And so it was really just volunteering. I am leading that team, and we have a food security team that is working on getting the pantry up and going. And then we started the marketing piece. Really, just Welcome Day was one of the biggest our start to it. We announced it at Welcome Day, and then we've also sent out emails to the entire Butler campus, the students at the Butler campus, and then we've done some targeted efforts at Job Corps students and Keys students, and then anybody who was interested who answered the request about getting information about the pantry. So as far as making it so that they don't feel insecure or ashamed of coming, we have it in a great location. It's at the Arts and Hospitality building, right on the side. There's a side door so they can pull up around and park their car and come into the pantry and then go right back out. It's right next to our kitchen at our Arts and Hospitality.
Is the pantry set up where they get to pick the items, or do they already request the items, or the items in a bag already for pickup? Like, what's that process like?
Right. So we are going to do it. We want it to be a shopping experience. Right now, since we're just starting out, this is our third day today, is our third day that it's been open, and we've packed the bags, the A&R food, so anybody from Butler County gets the packed food from A&R, and then anybody else gets the donated packed food. So we're starting it that way, and then as we go and get more donations, because we're really still in need of some donations.
Do you have any fresh fruits and vegetables, or do you stick with the non-perishable items?
We did receive a donation of fresh apples, actually, from A&R. So once in a while, we will do that. We have talked with some folks. This is truly a collaborative effort, not just amongst those at BC3 and the BC3 community, but it's amazing how far that BC3 community stretches. Mm-hmm. So we have talked with some folks who are interested possibly in donating some of their overages. So it may be someone who has a smaller farm that has some extra eggs, has some extra produce from their garden. I've also been in touch with a larger farm in this area who, actually former student, was connected with that farm, and he was very excited to hear what we were doing. And so we're hoping at some point to get that fresh produce and to get more of those types of things. We've actually been in touch with a restaurant about getting some of their overages as well.
And that's a great idea, too. And I'm glad that we're talking about this point a bit, because if we're listening today and we don't go to BC3, maybe we don't have a student at BC3, you might be a business. You know, you might serve food in some capacity, or you might be a farmer or know of a farmer that would be able to help in that way. So there is that possibility.
Absolutely.
That you could accept fresh food. For folks that would be in my position, I'm not a farmer, so I love you farmers, but I'm just not one. What's the best thing that I could do, you know, a person in my shoes? Do I stick with the non-perishable food?
We are taking donations, yes, non-perishables. Okay. And also, if you'd prefer to donate money, we can take that through our BC3 Foundation.
So how bad is this problem? I know we're talking BC3, and that's important because you're right here. And I know the Pioneer Pantry, because it is BC3's idea. Mm-hmm. You know, it's your baby, and that's a great thing. But how bad is this across the country?
It's an issue, and actually it's more of an issue at community colleges, because larger institutions who are residential, they often have meal plans. Community colleges generally do not.
That's true. I didn't even think of that.
So that's something else that students will struggle. And again, you often have individuals, it's slightly different population. So as Karen mentioned before, we have traditional age students who are using the pantry, but then again, we also have non-traditional age students with families who are supporting, and even some of our traditional age students, supporting families, and it may not just simply be a child. They may be supporting a parent. They may be supporting working with a grandparent.
Right.
So it is an issue, and as far as BC3 specifically, Dr. Willoughby at BC3 actually commissioned the Wisconsin Hope Lab survey to be conducted in the fall of 2017, and that was a basic needs survey of our students at BC3. And what that survey found was that roughly 38% of our students are food insecure, meaning the definition by the survey is that that's limited or uncertain availability of nutritionally adequate and safe foods, or the ability to acquire such foods in a socially acceptable manner. And that has always been the piece that gets me, the socially acceptable manner.
And there's an element in there that reaches me when you say that, we'll just say the availability to some people is not there, and I understand that. But I even find, even with people who have the availability, there's the, we'll just say the education is not there on what is healthy and what is not.
Correct.
So is that, do you assist students in that, in trying to understand? I love pizza, so I don't want to pick on pizza, but, you know, you probably shouldn't eat pizza every single night. You know, right. Try this variety, or try this food as well. Does that assist students?
Absolutely. And as we're growing the pantry, one thing that we want to start doing is providing some recipes to go along with some of the food. Some of the food we get from A&R, they may not even be familiar with. We talked about, I think we had squash soup this time, or in some different things. If they get eggplant or something like that, they may not know what to do with it. So we are going to provide them with recipes. And that's a great, one of our partners in this process is Jen Taylor, who is our arts and hospitality instructor, program director. So she's a wonderful asset to our team. Oh, yeah.
I think the recipes are a great idea as well.
Yes.
Because even, again, just outside of that population, sometimes you want to try a new recipe but have no clue of where to get the ingredients.
Right.
Even in your own
or
deli.
Or how to prepare
to prepare it.
Right.
So is that going in now with the food, those recipes, or will that be starting?
We have some now that we're putting in the bags, and then we're hoping that that grows. And her students, this is also a wonderful learning opportunity for her students, because she is using, they are preparing things and helping with the pantry and learning so much by this hands-on approach.
Again, if we want to donate, do we give straight to the school? Do you have events that will target an area that we could drop off food? What's your collection like?
At this point, we don't have a specific event set up. Again, we are always happy to accept donations of non-expired, non-perishable foods. Karen and I are both located in the Student Success Center on main campus. So if anyone was interested in dropping off the Student Success Center, they can certainly do that. Or they can contact us at the food pantry at foodpantry@, and that's the at symbol, bc3.edu, and let us know that you have some donations for us. And again, monetary donations are always accepted. I realize that sometimes it may be easier to grab a Giant Eagle gift card or to say, here's $20. And we can always accept those through the BC3 Foundation as well.
Absolutely. All right, so we only have about 5 minutes left with you, but I just want to ask you your final thoughts as we go and close out our time together of just the issue that's before us that I don't think many people pay attention to. I don't think many people realize is out there. And just your final thoughts on the fact that there are students, especially with colleges that are local, that may be struggling in this way. Karen, you want to go first?
Oh, absolutely. I see, like I said, I see it every day with my students. And when we had the pantry open the first day and they walked out with a bag of food, I mean, some of them had tears. They were just so happy. They were just so grateful. So I think it is definitely something that is extremely important and very much needed on our campus. So I'm grateful to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Ivory.
It makes me happy to know that BC3 is able to meet a need when we see it. And to know that it's not just simply, well, that's a shame, and I'm not really sure what we can do about that. But to say, okay, these are our students, this is our community. Let's figure this out, and let's take care of this. Mm-hmm. So just as Karen said, the idea of how the students feel when that happens. I've actually seen the other side of it too. I had a faculty member come to me and say, if you need something, let me know. Nobody needs to know. Mm-hmm. If you are running low with something or you didn't get donations, let me know and I'll give you a few $100. Nobody needs to know that's me though. I don't want people to know that.
Right, yeah.
I've had faculty know that they can send students to us, and it doesn't matter if it's during our distribution time or not. What do you need? Go see these folks and know that they're taken care of. And that means a lot.
How do you put the students at ease? I'm sure if they're coming to you, they know the help is there. There's got to be something going on inside.
Absolutely.
You know, this may be the first time that they've ever asked for help. Maybe it's something that's out of their realm of just what they see as normalcy. And yet here they are. They're asking for food.
Well, and that's something that I think Karen and I both deal with quite regularly. Because if they're asking for food, there's often something else that's going on.
Right.
So we both work with community organizations, the Butler Collaborative for Families, CCR, just a lot of different, the Lighthouse, a lot of different agencies that we can then refer students. So it's never just simply, okay, so here's your food. Good luck with that.
Right.
What else can we help you with? And often, again, academic counselor is the beginning of my title, but then the retention specialist sometimes I think is almost more important, because if I can't figure out or help that student figure out what it is that they need, the academics aren't going to come. Mm-hmm. And Karen and I see that quite often.
Mm-hmm. And BC3 is a family. They, I think they just feel comfortable. They know that we care. And that's really what matters.
And that they're heard.
And that they're heard.
You know, that their problems in life are heard. Mm-hmm. And as a counselor, do you see the shoulders drop a little bit?
Yes.
Do you see
that
wall come down, if you will?
And those are things that we try and think about, just like with the confidentiality. We chose that specific location because of the ease of being able to get things, because it's in a classroom building, so there's no, you're going over there.
Mm-hmm.
No, and we want students, you know, we greet them with a jovial, how are you today? What can we do for you? We actually have resources there. So it's not just come and get your food and go. There are resources there, and it's staffed when we have those distribution hours. So we really want to help those
students.
And
you never know in life when they have the opportunity to give back.
Right.
How
right.
that person will give back.
Absolutely.
Because they were helped.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's just, it goes around. Ivory and Karen, both from BC3 with the Pioneer Pantry. It's a fabulous idea that you've collectively come up with BC3 and helping students eat, you know, get food. Mm-hmm. And you call it food insecurities.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So, another terminology that we will learn, but I think we need to learn it. So Thank you, ladies.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. It's just about 10 minutes until 1 o'clock. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey, who's out for the day. And we're going to come back and we're going to just kind of switch our thought process. And we're going to be talking about essential oils. All right. So we'll be back right after this with WISR 680 AM.
In today's fast-paced world, our lives get a whole lot easier when we trust experts. We trust people who know what they're doing. And when it comes to shipping, I trust Gullen Postal Butler. They're right off Newcastle Road on Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's easy, too. I just cruise on back, go say hello to the friendly folks inside, and they package my items for shipping. And that saves me a whole lot of time. From trying to wrap my item, trying to find the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels. With Gullen Postal Butler, I know they provide quality service. They've got great prices. Most importantly, they are trustworthy. So I know that my package will go where I need it to go. That's Gullen Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. Your friendly neighborhood shipping store, Gullen Postal Butler.
Here's a pre-planning checklist. Pre-plan your vacation? Check. Pre-plan for retirement? Check. Pre-plan for college expenses? Check. Pre-plan for a funeral? Hold on, you say. I don't want to even think about that now. Think again. Now is really the best time. Before your emotions get in the way of logical and sensitive decisions, make all of these choices now. The funeral service, the choice of caskets, which minister, priest, or rabbi, cremation, visitations, flowers, church service or not, all these decisions must be made, of course, but make them now, before your emotions get in the way of logical decisions. Pre-plan with Thompson Miller. Think about it, and then call us to meet with you to discuss it privately. Call 724-287-3706, 287-3706. Pre-arrangements. It really makes sense. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller. Time-honored excellence.
And good afternoon, right? Do I have it right? All right. Dr. Lisa Kellerman's sitting here with Lisa's naturopath, and we've talked before in the morning, and you've been here before at other times, and we were just joking about how being out of the swing of things, you get confused on. I get confused on what time of day it is. So, all right. Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey today for It's Your Turn. And, you know, I did want to mention, because we were just talking about that food pantry with BC3. I just want to make this connection. They are not connected, but just keep in mind the Avenge Hunger Month is continuing. This effort is with Armstrong. On Wednesday, Coffee with Kate is going to be out at Diamond Park, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., and they're going to be collecting food. So if you have non-perishable food items, again, this one is a different food initiative, but still, you know, it's bringing in food to help those who are in need. All right, Dr. Lisa.
Hi, Tracy.
How are you?
I am wonderful.
I'm glad you're here, but I wish I could keep you for about 3 hours. Because I don't know what made me think of this the other day, and I've tried to get into the essential oils thing, and yet there are so many questions that I think it's just a confusing topic. So I thought, who do I ask? Dr. Lisa. So that's why I wanted you to come in today, because I want to say, okay, help me iron out everything, but that could go in 15 different directions. I've seen people with essential oils say ingest them. I've had people who say no. I don't understand why some essential oils you can put directly on your skin, but no, you should dilute others. That's the whole confusing thing.
I know,
thing,
it is confusing.
It's a noisy world out there. Where do you start with essential oils?
Well, I study with an aromatherapist from France.
Okay.
So I wanted to get the best research. And actually, I was in Vegas last weekend at a conference.
Okay.
Not that I get to see anything, but I was in classes the whole time.
You get to see a hotel.
Hey, I was in Vegas. It was a beautiful Vegas. But I get to, you know, touch base with her every time I have a conference. She's usually there. But I wanted the research from I'm going to say the horse's mouth.
Okay.
Because in my opinion, she's written books. She every time I go to her with a question, it's always right on the money. So she told me when I took classes from her never to ingest essential oils, which would be never put them in water.
Okay.
Okay? Because that is like putting water on a grease fire.
Okay.
That explodes the fire, right? If you would put
in a grease fire
frying pan and you had You know, you don't put water on it. You put flour on it or salt or something.
Yeah.
So that's, if you take an essential oil and you put them in water and you drink them, that, like, explodes the essential oils into the cells too fast.
So is it that people are dripping too much oils? Because there's another
confusing thing. Too strong to do something like that.
Is that why when you're diffusing these things, you only put like a drop or two of what you want to diffuse?
Exactly. So you have to realize these are the oils from the plants, the seeds, the stems, the, you know, different parts of the plant. But that does not make them less effective. They are very strong. So you should always dilute. But if you're going to ingest, I would like take a drop of peppermint on my finger and put it on my tongue.
Okay, so why does that make a difference? I mean,
because you're not putting
ingesting.
It in water and in drinking it real fast.
Okay. Is the water the carrier?
Right. But it doesn't mix with the oil. So it's carrying it into the body but not mixing with it to dilute it. It's not diluting. So here's another example. If you would get a drop of, say, tea tree oil in your eye, or near your eye where there's a lot of aroma. Okay, let's say something different, like Vicks Vapor Rub that I don't like at all. It's mostly chemicals, but there is some eucalyptus and things
in
it.
Right, yeah.
If you would get that even near your eye would start watering and wanting to close and everything.
Because some people use tea tree oil with coconut oil for like acne.
Right,
and
right.
So I can see why it's by your eye.
Near your eye or in your eye, would you put water in there to dilute that?
I would say yes, but you're going to tell me no,
because
I know I'm already wrong.
You're wrong.
That's why I asked you in here.
So if it's an oil base, you need to dilute it with an oil base. So olive oil, coconut oil, almond oil. More essential oil and not water.
Okay.
So think of that. Think about that when you're using any kind of oils. Even if, you know, you're using some kind of oil concoction on your skin.
Right.
It runs into your eye.
So then there are some essential oils that I've heard, okay, make sure you dilute. And then some, they just say, we'll just put on your skin.
That's right.
So some you can put on your skin?
Any essential oil you can put on your skin. But again, you should dilute it in a carrier oil. So again.
I guess that's my question. So you can't just take any essential oil and just dab it on your skin.
Okay, you can, some of them.
Okay.
But if you're using, if I give you an essential oil, you know, we'll say cinnamon.
Okay.
And you go, oh, I'm not sure if I'm allergic to it or not. Well, if you put that directly on your skin, you're going to be able to tell because it's very strong.
Right.
So why not? Why take a chance? Why dilute it first and put it on your skin? And it's called a little patch test. You know, you just put a little patch, dilute it, put a little bit on there and look at it and watch it. If you're okay, then you're okay.
Well, it looked like what your skin looks like when you've gotten into poison ivy?
Well, it can be all kinds of different things.
Okay,
it can
so
be
you
blisters,
can have a different reaction.
It can be a rash, right. You can have different things. But the trouble with drinking them, putting them in water and drinking them, it puts it into the cells too fast. So I have people coming in with rashes over their liver. And I said, what's wrong? Why have this rash over my liver area? And I know right away what they've been doing. I said, who told you to put and they're like, well, I took an essential oil and I put it in water and drank it, whether it's lemon, whether it's peppermint, whatever. And every day. Well, then it's coming through the liver. So they're getting a rash through the liver.
Right.
Okay. So never do it.
Don't. So then here's,
and I don't care what company it is.
I was just going to go down that road. So I knew you were going. So what does
always
it
dilute?
Why does it make a difference of what company? We're
doesn't.
Not going to mention companies.
It does it's not. Just,
but some I keep hearing, well, this isn't up to standards, where this company is up to standards. And so what's in the essential oil that makes one company better than another?
There are different companies, but there's not a different company that you can ingest in water.
Okay.
So somebody
just
tells
generally
you.
Speaking, though, because I've talked to plenty of people in this kind of in your business, even though I still don't understand it as much as you do. That's why you're the expert. But they'll say, you know, this line, we'll just say, is not up to snuff. Where this line is pure, and I'm going, what's the difference?
Because,
I don't get
again,
it.
Again, it's kind of like a supplement company. There's no governing body over them,
mm-hmm.
So companies can come out and adulterate their oil. And so here's a for instance, I found out a company was doing. So again, I'm very picky about my companies, my supplements, my essential oils, because as a naturopathic doctor, I'm trying to get people well. I don't want them to come back and say, hey, I have this rash on my liver, or I have these ulcers around my mouth. And I know I didn't do it. You know, I know I didn't recommend those things to do that. Oh yeah, ulcers. One lady came ulcers all around her lips.
She was putting it on the outside, or she was ingesting?
No, she was ingesting it. And, yeah, because the water and the oil didn't mix. So she was getting too much oil. But there's no governing body. So somebody said, you need to look at this company. So I looked at the company, and I found out every bottle of lavender was the same smell, like lots. So what they have to do, if they want the lavender to smell the same way in every bottle, they have to change. They have to alter the ingredient or the lavender. Because if you're harvesting lavender in the rain or in the sun, or they've had a drought, or they've had different growing conditions, every lavender essential oil is never going to smell the same.
Really? Is one bottle stronger than the other?
It can just be a little bit different.
Okay.
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 So if a company says every bottle smells the same, they're adulterating their oils. So they're changing them.
Okay.
So, and then there's grades of, a company, and I'm not going to tell you the name, has a certification. Well, it's not. It's a made up marketing certification.
The certification for their company or certification for the product?
For the product. And it says on there, the product, this certification. It's not.
And is that because there's no governing body?
Right.
Back to no governing body
right.
for essential
So somebody
oils.
Says, oh, you can ingest this one because it has this certification. No.
So, again, I don't want to go down the road of what companies to choose. And I know Lisa's Natural Path, I know, has a great line, and I know Dr. Lisa can guide you in the right place. But I guess I'm wondering, you know, if we go to a big box store and we see some, or do we go
to
a store like yours, because there are plenty around, but
sometimes you can look on the back, and like lavender, lavandin is a synthetic lavender. Okay, so they can even say it's an essential oil, and it can be 99% of lavandin, which is
That's why we need people like you in our back pockets.
Because buy that one.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's
why you're wasting
your
money.
And that's why I think the health field for me is very confusing, and I know I'm not alone, because you want to do better for yourself,
right.
And you want to try to eat the best food you can, and then all of a sudden you find out that that's not, like the other day I bought this drink that did the no additives or no preservatives or what, I can't remember, but it was all the no. So I thought, fine, I didn't look in the ingredients and I know better. And I got it home and I'm drinking it. It has sucralose in it. I was like, are you serious?
Oh.
You know, it's like, so when you look at packages, you know, a person in my shoes, I don't know enough yet. I'm trying to learn, but I don't know enough yet that I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm reading on the back of labels.
It's
like
thing.
Essential oils.
I bought a coconut water.
It was coconut water.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
And I was so
upset. We'll have to talk later where we bought it.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy. I was so upset.
But yeah. Because
I couldn't
like,
believe it. And I am not ingesting any kind of artificial sweetener. So down the drain it went.
So when it comes to essential oils, how do we learn? Or is it just about educating ourselves on what we're reading?
It's just about looking at the ingredients, looking up the company. See, it's different manufacturing practices, too. So if they distill their oils with chemicals, you do not want that.
No.
And if they adulterate their oils, kind of like, you know, grains that aren't organic, they're genetically modified. So you don't want a genetically modified grain. You don't want an adulterated oil. You want it as pure from nature, because you're using essential oils to help your health, to improve your health. So all you have to do is sniff them, rub them, dilute them. So I want to tell you the dilution, because that's very important.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
And so, you're talking about healthy oils. Like,
right.
Again, coconut oil.
Right. So you want to use some kind of a carrier oil.
Okay.
Almond oil, coconut oil.
Olive
oil.
Okay.
Extra virgin olive
okay.
oil. So a tablespoon of that and 7 to 10 drops of your essential oil.
Can you mix the oils? Or I guess it depends on what you're
doing.
You
can. Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yeah. So just put it in your palm. Put a tablespoon of the carrier oil, put your 7 to 10 drops, mix it up, and then apply it. That makes your oils go farther, and it actually makes them more of a benefit for your body, because you're breaking them down smaller.
And just a few months ago, I got one of those roller balls.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time I ever did.
Yes.
But it fits about a tablespoon or so.
Right.
So if you have one of those roller balls.
We sell empty roller bottles at the shop. So people
right.
can make their own blends and things too. But there's so many health. I mean, I take a bath every night in 15 drops of lavender. Okay, I just put it in like a cup of Epsom salts and mix it around the bathtub and get in.
Oh, so that's a whole other conversation. That's a whole I know, because isn't that detoxifying?
Yes.
When you're doing Epsom salts?
Yes.
I'm learning.
So essential oils, they do so many things. You know, you're sniffing them, but when you're inhaling them, like I had a girl this morning, lady in my colon hydrotherapy room, and she was just having a little bit, just not feeling 100%. She knew she had a lot of toxins and she was doing great. And I got the bottle of settling blend. It's called Relief. So it's a blend of essential oils out, and I rolled it and I said, okay, I want you to sniff it. I want you to rub some on your belly, your low belly, your abdomen, rub it in, rub a drop here, you know.
On the hand. So for the visual radio is that, but right did that here. Like C, if you make a C with your first finger and your
thumb.
Right in the web.
10 minutes, she's fine.
Isn't that interesting? So is there a better way to, I don't want to say ingest because I know you just said don't ingest.
Bottom of the feet.
Well, I was going to say bottom of the feet, but roller balls, diffusing, and sniffing them. Why the bottom of the feet?
The bottom of the feet are their largest pores in the body.
Do they need to be warm? Like, because I've heard
doesn't
you just
really
stick
matter,
your feet in warm water to open up pores.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
That's like when we do ionic foot soaks. You're soaking your feet in a hot pan of water, and the bottom pores then are opening up, and then the energy can go in and detoxify you. So if you put the essential oils, you can just rub them a couple drops on the bottom of the feet. Very good for kids.
Now, I saw one, and I know we're running out of time, but I saw a picture of a foot chart, I guess would be the best way to put it.
Reflexology?
And it showed different parts of the foot with your organ. So I know quickly, and I know we don't have much time, but can you name a couple? Like, what's the big toe? What's the heel? What do we do with that? Or do we just look at one of those charts and what we need to address is where we need to put the oil?
I don't do reflexology.
Oh, okay.
I can't tell you for sure 100% where they're at, but they're definitely all the organs of the body are down there on the bottoms of the feet. But so if you're using like a blend for your thyroid, you'd run it specifically on the areas in the bottom of the feet for the thyroid. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do for sleep, lavender is very good for sleep. Just rub it on the both soles of the feet, you know. But that is the number one place to put the essential oils is on the bottom of the feet. And the second place would be, you know, your forearms, your neck, your you want to do kind of where your skin's kind of thin.
Okay.
Not where the thicker, where the sun's hit it.
Right.
Okay. So palms of your hand, under your arms, you know, chest, legs, anywhere the skin's kind of thin.
I know you walk people through this if they are a client of yours and, you know, you can.
Right.
But do you hold classes on this
kind
of stuff?
We hold classes on essential oils. We have all kinds of testers. We have jewelry. We have diffusers. We have and handouts, we have recipes, we have a whole huge table on just essential oils because, you know, another lady came this morning and she said, I have this little itchy spot on the back of my scalp. I said, start putting tea tree oil on it. She's like, right out of the bottle? I said, yes. So there are a few oils you can put right out of the bottle, but always you should dilute. But tea tree and lavender are two of my favorite that I just take out of the bottle.
Well, when you get a little mini me so I can put it in the back of my pocket.
Dr.
Lisa Mini Me.
Love it. Great to mix a little blend and use it as natural perfume instead of all those chemicals.
Dr. Lisa Kellerman, thank you so much.
Thanks,
Lisa's Natural Path. I appreciate it. All right, trying to help us out with essential oils. Folks, we do have a packed show. We have 20 more minutes, and we're going to get our third guests in here. And so let's take a break, Pat. We'll be back right after this with It's Your Turn. Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store in Butler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Well, 98.6 is normal, but Mr. 60s is far from that. We try to raise that level a bit every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m., playing some of the hottest hits from the 50s, 60s, and 70s on the Mr. 60s Rock and Roll Oldie Show. Tune in to WISR and remember, we're all here because we're not all there.
Radio is America's number one mass reach medium. Yes, you heard that correctly. More people listen to the radio on an average weekly basis than watch TV or search the internet. And there's a reason why. We play your favorite songs, we have your favorite DJs, and we also cover local news, sports, and weather always live and always on time. So if 93% of Americans are listening to radio, wouldn't it make sense for your business to be there too? At the Butler Radio Network, you get what you won't get at other places. Better service that offers a tangible result on your investment. Local music, local news, local DJs, and local businesses make local radio. So while all the big market stations focus group their music and overanalyze the market, we're doing radio the way it was meant to be. The Butler Radio Network takes pride in what we do. We care about where we work, we care about who listens, and we care about our local businesses. To learn more, call 724-283-1500 or visit butlerradio.com and click on the advertising page. I'm Tyler Friel, and I love what we do.
Welcome back to the program. Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey. I always like to keep his same phrase. Welcome back to the program. I can't go as deep as he does, though, but we both have bassy voices, but I think he's still bassier than I am. All right, so in for Dave, and we only have about 15, 20 minutes left, so I want to jump back into our round of guests that we've had. We've had a full panel today. And Lou, you're next up. Save the best for last, right, Lou?
For sure.
Right, right. For sure. So Lou Hancherik is with us, and the organization, of course, he's with is Go Green Festival. Electric cars. I am so glad you're in here. I find them fascinating. I don't have one yet, though.
Why not?
I know, maybe I'm getting there. Maybe that's the next car, right? So back in the day, a few years ago, it wasn't that long ago when these came out, but it didn't seem to be so popular. Why are electric cars becoming more and more popular?
Okay, well, I think that the, back a few years, the early adopters were people who were really into the technology, and the public, the general public, just really were not aware of them and what the benefits were. And also, automobile dealers are not generally on board.
Okay. Is there a reason why?
Well, a pure electric vehicle has less maintenance, completely less maintenance. A lot of the dealership business is...
Depends on maintenance.
On maintenance, sure.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a little bit self-defeating for them in a sense that they would be giving up a certain part of their business to... promote electric vehicles.
So when I heard of them, of course, I think a lot of people get interested, and the blocking point for me was even though in the end I wouldn't be shelling out money for gas all the time, they seem to be more expensive on the front end. Did I have that correct, or has that come down?
Well actually, there are a few models that are definitely very much more expensive than the normal car, let's say. But there are several models now that are right in the same ballpark, basically pricing in the high 20s up into the 30s and 40s. And with the government rebates, government tax credits, you can bring the price down to, what you would normally
a reasonable
do.
Price,
yes.
Yeah.
Also, now there are more and more of them coming onto the used car market, whereas it seems like the price drop on those is more significant than on a standard car, so that a 2 or 3 year old electric car can be bought really reasonable.
And since this is new, I'll say, to many of us, because change is hard.
Right.
If we're going to buy a used electric car,
right,
what are the questions that we should be asking? Because you just mentioned a moment ago they didn't have as much wear and tear. And so I think that's one of the questions, buying a used car, that's one of the questions that come up.
Yeah. Well, I think that most of the electric models come with either an 8-year or a 10-year warranty.
Okay.
And so that's something that's really significant in as much as the normal car doesn't have that length of a warranty. So that's something that it's sort of like a worry-free kind of issue, mm-hmm. that you don't really have to be concerned if the car has 20 or 30,000 miles right. on it. It's still a much more life left in that car.
Absolutely.
I don't think they ever wear out.
So I want to ask you about the event, and I will in a second. I have one more question before we get there. The event is a free event, September 21st, and we'll go over that with the GoGreenFestival.com. But here's another worry of mine. So if I buy an electric car and I go on vacation or I travel a lot, am I going to find a place to recharge it?
Yes and no.
Depends on where I want to go, right?
Where you want to go and which of the cars that you've purchased.
Oh, do they have different chargers?
Right. Right.
Oh, okay. So help me out with this.
The Tesla network of chargers are exclusive to Tesla, but they're very, very strategically placed so that you can plan on going coast to coast, so to speak.
Okay.
With a Tesla, and the charge times are really acceptable.
Okay.
Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Whereas some of the other manufacturers have less of a network of charging. That would be things that are readily available to the public. Now, some retailers like IKEA, for example, some of the Whole Foods stores have chargers available so that you can plug in, go shopping for your 25 minutes, come back out and have your car fully charged.
Well, it depends on if you're shopping or I'm shopping. I take like an hour and a half there, my friend. My car would be done, right?
And then there are certain organizations called Plug In America and Plug Share, mm-hmm. where you have an app on your phone. And depending on where you're traveling, you can look and see on PlugShare whether or not there's a charger available to you and whether it's busy or not and whether it's your car can be plugged into it or not.
What do you consider to be an acceptable amount of time? And that may vary from person to person, but when I say that, I mean because you go fill your car up with gas, you're done in, what, 3 or 4 minutes? Off you go.
Right.
What is charging time with an electric car?
I don't know if when I travel, and I've traveled considerably to the south, and usually my stop is at a travel center
okay.
where I'm doing more than filling up. I'm using the restroom or buying a sandwich mm-hmm. or doing something else. And so if you were able to charge in 25, 30 minutes, that's pretty yeah. acceptable. And a lot of these cars are set up that you can do that. In 30, you get an 80% charge, full charge, 80% in that time period.
Is the terminology the same? Like I'm full or I'm half empty? I mean, I've never owned an electric car. What's the terminology that you use? You say I'm ready to go, or
well, you're fully charged.
Fully charged.
And,
okay.
And your gas pedal is not a gas pedal. It's an accelerator.
Oh. So we yell accelerator on the right instead of gas pedal on the right when we're getting mad at the person in front of us. I get it, Lou.
Right. Yeah. The ideal situation for most consumers right now, and as technology proceeds, we'll have longer and longer ranges. You know, that's the thing. And so a lot of folks who are considering electric, the range, how far can you go on electric charge? Is the big issue.
Because that affects your travel. If you are going coast to coast or even going four states away, you have to know how long you can travel before you have to charge up again.
Right. And so as that increases, it's going to be – the adoption is going to become more popular. Right now, the ideal situation is a two-car family where the one car is electric and one car is either – a hybrid that's also a plug-in, mm-hmm. part electric, part gas, and so that you can then take that trip of the 500-mile trip with a what they call them, PHEVs, plug-in hybrids.
Okay.
Without concern about where am I going to charge and all that.
Am I going to break down or stop or absolutely?
And then use the pure electric as a commuter car, the one that you take to work and back, or do your local shopping, pick up the kids to soccer, etc.
Yeah, do what you need to do.
Yeah, and so that's kind of a right now.
Yeah.
As the technology is growing.
And it's amazing on how technology changes and how fast it does. I know we say today, it could be 6 months down the road, it could be a completely different story.
Right.
But Lou Hancherik is with us with the Go Green Festival. Now, the sixth annual Go Green Electric Car Show is happening this weekend. Can you believe it? It's here already. September 21st, it'll be one day, and it's noon to 3, a free event. Now, this is going to be in Cranberry.
Right.
So tell us what we get to see.
Okay, well, at the car show is basically, there's, I believe, 37 cars registered to come to the show, mostly owners. There are a few dealers that are bringing their cars, but mostly owners. And for the person that's considering purchasing and adopting a electric car, they can get a chance to talk to the owners and what the owners experience, the owners of electric cars are experiencing, and how they've adopted to it and what the pitfalls are and what the benefits were. I know that I was afraid of what it might do to my electric bill.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
Because you would charge it at home.
Yeah, right.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, not...
And your answer? I'm curious. And what did it do there, Lou?
I hardly noticed.
Really?
The increase. Okay. Of course, I do not have a full electric. I have a plug-in hybrid. And my typical charge is 60 cents.
Wow.
And it gives me the equivalent of a gallon of gasoline. So
when you plug this in, does it stop the charge when it's full?
Yes.
Okay. So it doesn't just keep the rotating charge in there.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Right.
So
right.
Let's talk about this a little bit before we run out of time. But this will be in the parking lot of Cranberry Square Shopping Center. Do you remember the Toys R Us? Remember the big building, the big parking lot? That's the parking lot where you're going to go in Cranberry.
Right.
That's a nice-sized parking lot for
right,
this.
Right, it is. Right.
Yeah.
And it should be nearly full.
Yeah.
Because of the cars, the number of cars.
Are these smaller cars? I'm looking at a picture, and it looks like a normal-sized car.
Well, we have some small SUV-type cars or hatchbacks, as well as full sedans. I believe someone else is also bringing a Chrysler Pacifica hybrid, which is a plug-in hybrid. You get some 40-some miles of pure electric. So, again, for the mom that's doing the neighborhood running around, she can practically do that all on electric without ever buying gas. And then there's an SUV, a bigger SUV, that's also a plug-in hybrid. And so just about every vehicle imaginable will be there in terms of the class of vehicles. We don't have any real minis coming, but
okay.
In certain parts of the country, there are the Kona, the Hyundai Konas, the Fiat 500e.
Okay.
These are all smaller cars.
But you don't have the smaller ones you have.
We don't have them here because they're not for sale in Pennsylvania yet.
Ah, okay. But what Ford has one, Honda.
Right.
Mitsubishi, Nissan, Tesla, you mentioned, Toyota.
Ford, Chevrolet.
Right, yeah. And then the you have a Cadillac.
Yes.
Well, somebody there's going to be bringing a Cadillac.
Yes, a Cadillac. Yeah.
Or do you have the Cadillac? Wouldn't you like to have the Cadillac, Lou?
Well, really, I like my Mitsubishi.
The one you have, all right.
There's a couple of really unique cars. There's a Porsche Panamera.
Okay.
Which is
what makes it unique?
Well, it's unique because it's a luxury vehicle that's also a hybrid. And it's probably very expensive. I'm not sure.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. But, are there any that are unique in the way? Wasn't it Tesla that the doors came up, or
yes,
they opened in a different fashion?
Yes, that's there are several Teslas coming. That would be the Model X, which is a luxury sized SUV, where the rear doors, instead of them opening, sliding, or swinging, they swing up like gall wings.
Okay.
And they're kind of unique. I've seen them actually demonstrating that at the show, where they've played music and the wings were synchronizing
to
the music, which is kind of a showstopper.
Looks like the Dorian from Back to the Future, right?
Yeah.
That Dorian, yeah, the cars go. So again, this is a free event, September 21st, noon until 3 in the parking lot where the Toys R Us in Cranberry used to be. So they're going to utilize that parking lot. The 6th annual Go Green Electric Car Show. Yeah.
And every year, we started out the first year, we had two vehicles. And so we're
You've really grown.
So every year it's been an increase in the number of vehicles.
The folks that come, are they from Butler County, Western Pennsylvania, or do they drive in from outside of the area?
Actually, they drive in from a regional location, which is good for, helping bring tourism to.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I just this morning had to answer somebody from Ohio that wants to bring a car. And wanted to know if we were going to have electricity available so we can charge on site, which we do not.
Good point. That's a good point.
And but we also, through PlugShare, can locate him a couple of places where he can charge before he goes back home.
In Butler County, where would we go?
Well, there's the Hampton Inn in Cranberry.
Okay.
The Nissan dealer in Cranberry, that's Cochran Nissan, where the Chevrolet dealer is also. You can charge there. You can charge at my house.
You would see an electric bill then, wouldn't you? We'd all be lining up at Lou's house. So basically right now in Butler County, it's more of the Cranberry area.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Although there are several owners in Butler with Teslas, and Teslas are a little bit less worrisome in as much as a lot of the sheet stores have Tesla chargers. I'm not sure. I haven't checked out the newest one here.
Yeah, I haven't even, because I don't have an electric car, I don't think to look for it.
Right.
You know, I think when you have one, you have to find it out, or you want to buy one. That's why I like this idea of this event, because as you said, these are owners of cars who have been through it. They can teach you how to, I say put gas in, and I almost slipped on you, Lou, how to plug it in and all of those nuances that people like, I don't know how to use an electric car.
Yeah,
how to maintain one. It's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. The maintenance costs on them are like, of course,
next to
tires
nothing.
And brakes.
Right,
but
right,
because
right.
of what's called regenerative braking, where you use the momentum of the car slowing down to regenerate the battery, you can almost drive without using the brake pedal.
So the whole car, does it work off of that electric? What I mean, let's say for some reason you forgot to charge your car, okay, and the car would not run. Can you still open the doors? Can you turn on the radio?
Yes, there's always a small amount of latent. Plus there's the conventional battery there also.
Okay.
So there's, besides the batteries that are used for driving the wheels, there's also a starter battery like you have in a normal car. And so, like, my car is a plug-in hybrid, so I have, and it's an all-wheel drive Mitsubishi, and so I have two electric motors, one for the front wheels, one for the back wheels, and then I also have the gasoline engine, which acts as a generator for the battery.
Interesting. It's an interesting world. It really is. And I am curious on where we're going to go in 10, 20 years. Are we all going to cross over to this? And
well, the one of the big drivers of this is climate change. And and transportation uses up a huge amount of fossil fuels.
Right.
And it creates a huge amount of pollution, CO2. And, you know, even, which brings up like another area of thing, when over in Beaver County, they're building this this cracker plant.
Yeah.
And this cracker plant is going to have the equivalent pollution of 480,000 cars.
Wow. Well, Lou, I can guarantee by the time I get an electric car, you'll be in the flying cars. And then you'll have to teach me how to do that, okay? So this is going to be the 6th Annual Go Green Electric Car Show, September 21st, noon to 3, in the parking lot in Cranberry Township of the old Toys R Us. Lou, thanks so much for coming in.
Well, you're very, very welcome.
And folks, if you want to search anything about this, go greenfestival.com. So it would be go online to gogreenfestival.com.
Yeah, or you can just simply go to driveelectricweek.org and put in your zip code, and it should direct you right to us.
There you go. Ask Alexa. She'll tell us how to get there. All right. Hey, Lou, thanks for coming
in. Thank you.
I appreciate it. And folks, we're out of time for the day. I will be back for Dave again tomorrow. So thank you for joining us. Have a great afternoon. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.